The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Welcome to the podcast. By the way, this week we're going to be in Florida.
Tampa. We're coming home to Tampa on Friday. And then on Saturday in Orlando. David Barton's going to be joining us for a little pre-show thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Very cool. Glenbeck.com/tour is the place to go if you would like to buy tickets. We would love to see you there.
We'd love to see you.
It's going to be fun. Yep. Today on the podcast, we talked a little bit about tariffs and their effect on the economy.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of kind of scary economy stuff going on right now,
uh-huh.
including the housing market seems uh-huh. to be drying up a little bit.
A little bit.
Hopefully this is not a long-term thing, but you're definitely worried about it.
Yeah, I'm very worried about it. Today we kind of went into that. Also, the board. And what the media won't tell you. I mean, even Pat came on and said, you know, I'm not one that likes the president when he says that the press is the enemy of the people, but they're kind of being like the enemy of the people on this one.
So we'll go to that. By the way, on tonight's TV show today, if you happen to be watching, go back in the Tuesday TV show. Is all about the caravan, all the background of it, where the funding comes from, what is the approach, what are they trying to do? It's all on the TV show tonight on theblaze.com/TV.
Also, Merrill Hodge and Peter Cummings are on. He's an NFL superstar, and Peter Cummings is a neuroscientist, mm-hmm. and they've written the book Brainwashed about the destruction of football in America based all around what they say is incredibly faulty science of CTE. Fascinating conversation, especially if you have a kid, you want to play football. This is a don't miss, all on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program. It's Tuesday, November 27th.
We want to thank our sponsor today. It is Brick House. Brick House wanted to remind you that superfoods aren't always super. You have to really look at the labeling on them because sometimes, you know, if you see something that says supplement facts, that means it's made from extracts and not real food. Superfood is actual food.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
You come up with that one yourself?
Yeah, when you have the word food in it.
Mm-hmm. It should be food.
Okay. It should be food.
It's an interesting line you're drawing there.
Yes.
Yeah, but especially this week after, if you ate like I did over the past 4 or 5 days, you probably want your vegetables. Field of Greens is what Brickhouse Nutrition has come out with, making your vegetables easy to get to. You don't have to deal with downing tons of broccoli. You just have a scoop of this and whatever you're eating, it's great. BrickHouseGlen.com is the place to go. Use promo code Glenn. You get 15% off your first order. It's BrickHouseGlen.com.
So much to talk about.
BrickHouseGlen.com.
Glenn Beck.
I feel a little like I did in 2007. And for anybody who has been listening to me for a long time, you hopefully remember you know, what that felt like and what we don't want to face again. We are headed toward real economic trouble, and we have a window of time to accomplish an awful lot of things. Let's start with tariffageddon here. It's not going away. The tariffs, I don't know what this is, but it's not helpful. We have been so fixated on the never-ending stream of breaking news that we are not seeing now the major economic storm that is coming, and it is already over the horizon. We are in a trade war, and I don't think we've begun to see the full effects of the fallout yet. This war has just started. The bombs have barely begun to drop, and we're about to start seeing the casualties. And unfortunately, we are scrambling more fighters. Let's not forget what tariffs really are, America. They are not hurting or punishing the Chinese government. They're not. They're not hurting or punishing the European Union or Canada. They are hurting you, because tariffs actually would be more aptly described with another T word, and that is tax. It is a tax on you, and there is nothing conservative about this policy. This is about as progressive and big government as you get. Ronald Reagan said it best, Quote, government's view of the economy would be summed up in a few short phrases. If it moves, tax it. If it keeps moving, regulate it. And if it stops moving, subsidize it. When the Trump administration's tariffs hurt America's farmers, he subsidized with $12 billion in handouts. This is not the American way. They never needed a handout before this ridiculous trade war began. Now they're being forced to live off the government, to rely on the government, to continue their own business. There is nothing conservative about any of this. Now, according to the Tax Foundation, this trade war will result in nearly 300,000 jobs lost. Yesterday, General Motors, the nation's largest car company, announced dramatic downsizing, halting production at multiple plants and closing them in the U.S. and Canada. Over 8,000 white-collar jobs are being eliminated. More than 6,000 factory jobs gone. Over 14,000 people in total will lose their livelihoods. Oh, and did I mention that back in July, GM announced that the administration's trade war would cost the company $1 billion. Now let's stick with American cars for just a second. News from Tesla came out this morning. They have announced their sales in China have fallen 70%. Why? Because we're in a trade war. And China is taxing the crap out of everything American. 70% market share in the world's largest emerging market? Are we insane? Elon Musk said he's now weeks away. Just a few weeks away of bad sales before they close the doors. Apple also had its stock in free fall, 20% over the last 3 months. As of this morning, they lost another 2%. Why? Because the president told the Wall Street Journal that he's considering slapping a tariff on iPhones. If you want to buy an iPhone, you might want to buy one right now because you may not be able to afford one soon. President said we can all afford an extra 10% on our iPhone. No, Mr. President, we can't. Tariffs as they stand right now are bad, but it looks like they're going to go even higher. But right now, they're costing Americans over $40 billion. That is more money than Obamacare's tax bill of $34 billion. That is $915 for every American, $2,400 per household. And if the tariffs stay in place, it will cost you $17,300 by 2030. Tariffs are a tax. And they are a tax on you. Americans are already starting to lose their jobs. Please, Mr. President, please stop with the tariffs. The workers of America are begging you, stop with the tariffs.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Just an amazing situation that we're lied to every day, in the media about, and they just don't care. I think the media borders on treason. I think it's such a problem.
So
for
wait
them.
A minute, wait. You were a guy who said I don't like the rhetoric of the press is an enemy of the
right.
people.
No,
right?
I don't.
But you're now kind of saying that?
Now saying...
Well, he said bordering. He didn't say he
bordering
said across the border.
I mean, they are doing...
He's climbing the fence
He's climbing the fence of that border.
Yes. All right,
they are doing everything they can to deny reality.
I know. It's amazing.
Everything they can. Yeah. And to show... It's amazing. Did you guys have the reporter from MSNBC?
Yeah. Let's play this real quick.
Unreal.
I tweeted out last night. This will be the last time you see this reporter on MSNBC.
For sure.
Listen to what he said.
Because some people look at these images and they listen to the president who says it's not women and children, it's stone cold criminals. So my first question is, you're in that tent camp. besides that family, give us a profile of who is there mostly and what are they looking for.
You're going to see a lot of families here, a lot of women and children. But the truth is, the majority of the people that are part of this caravan, especially outside, if we can make our way all the way over there, we'll show you the majority of them are men. So this becomes a polarized political issue in the United States, you have people on one side that point and say there are women and children here, and that is true. And then there are others who point and say these are men that are trying to cross the border, and that's true too. From what we've seen, the majority are actually men, and some of these men have not articulated that need for asylum. Instead, they have talked about, you know, going to the United States for a better life and to find work.
It's amazing. Interesting. He actually said it.
Yeah, I know.
Three times.
Yeah.
That the majority are men. Now, I don't think anybody has ever denied that some
children,
women and children are there. I've never denied that.
I've never denied it either.
The vast majority, however, are men.
Yeah.
And
did you hear how they are, these men are, were pushing the women and children to the front on the storming of the gates?
Yes.
They were actually pushing the women and children. It's exactly what happens with Hezbollah Hamas on the Israeli border.
Sure
is. Exactly the same thing.
And the photo that you continually see when they rushed the border like that and then had tear gas canisters fired at them was a woman with two children, one on either side, both in diapers. They're 5 years old, but for both whatever reason, diapers. They're in diapers. And that's the image that everybody shows to make you think, oh, my gosh, they're just firing tear gas randomly at women and children. Well, every other person, if you look in the background, is a man.
Gee, I can't believe the media found the woman with the children to take the picture of. What a bad luck streak where they wouldn't capture the whole story with their picture.
It's so dishonest. And I think it's hurtful to the country.
All of it is. Have you seen any coverage on the protests in Tijuana?
What Luis Alexis Mendoza, a Mexican, said about these people. Here's what he shouted, and a reporter actually from the Los Angeles Times heard him say, "This is an invasion."
I love that.
"We demand respect. We demand that our laws be followed." Huh? Yeah. Wait, what?
The mayor of Tijuana has been wearing a Make Tijuana Great Again hat.
Oh my God. Try this out for yourself. Listen to this. Funny. This is Patricia Reyes. She's a 62-year-old Mexican protester. She said, "We want the caravan to go. They're invading us. They should have come to Mexico correctly, legally, but they came in like animals. This is a Mexican resident." The demonstrators held signs, "No illegals, no to the invasion."
Amazing.
Have you seen any of this on TV?
No, they don't show it. They do not show it.
The mayor said, "Tijuana is a place that welcomes anyone, but you have to have papers. You must identify yourself."
Wait, you want your sovereignty respected?
Right. I don't understand. "We work hard in Tijuana. We don't get handouts. The government shouldn't be giving these things to migrants when there are plenty of Mexicans in a difficult position." Much of the protesters said the migrants should be detained and deported. The mayor also said, "I would dare say that not all of them are migrants. Sure, there are some good people in the caravan, but there are many that are bad."
What a hater. What a xenophobe.
He then said, "Human rights are only for upstanding humans."
I don't know if that's true.
That's not true. Christian Mendez, a Honduran traveling with his girlfriend, said, "I'm not sure what we're going to do. We all know we want to request asylum, but we have heard about the list. We don't know how long it's going to take. We don't know how long there will be for food for us to eat."
The Tijuana mayor also said, "Tijuana is a city of immigrants, but we don't want them in this way." Huh. So you want them to come legally perhaps?
Huh.
Sure.
It's weird.
He said it was different with the Haitians. They carried papers. They were in order. It wasn't a horde. Pardon the expression.
An invasion?
Pardoned. You've been pardoned.
It's truly amazing. If you were, for instance, I about lost my mind yesterday with Ms. Cortez and her Holocaust comparisons.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Rihanna calling it terrorism because we fired canisters of tear gas. Okay, everybody who feels that way should have to accept 24 of these migrants into their home permanently.
I don't know.
That's what they're asking America to
here's,
do.
Here's what I think.
It's our home.
Here's what I think is very, very reasonable.
You don't think 24 is reasonable?
No, not necessarily.
She's got an 11,000 square foot house.
Here's what I would be happy with. We just go back into your Twitter feed and we find all of the times that you were outraged when the Obama administration was tear gassing people on the border. Mm-hmm. Oh, can't find it? Shut up. go back in your Twitter feed when you were outraged that President Obama put people in cages. Can't find it? Shut up. Mm-hmm. I am clear. Mm-hmm. I was against that when it was happening. I was talking about it
to
when
the point
it was happening.
Where we went down to the border and yeah. brought the kids Christmas presents.
Yeah, right.
So.
And said, go home now.
Yeah.
Go home.
I mean, yeah.
The other thing is, I cannot take the lecturing from the left on the Jews and the and the St. Louis that was turned away. Excuse me. They were going to an extermination camp. That's what fate had in store for them. If you want to talk to me about asylum, then tell me that you have been leading the charge for the Christians and the Yazidis who are being exterminated and enslaved.
Oh, but nobody can talk about having helped those people.
No. Yeah, right.
Well,
yeah, we can. They've never said anything about that's an actual refugee. How about Asia Bibi? Are you talking about bringing her in? Because she is currently in hiding in her own country because she will not say, I reject my faith and I accept Islam. Nobody's taking her. She's being passed around from country to country and nobody's taking her. Where are you on that? If you have said yes to those two things and you're on record, well, then let's talk about the immigration status of these people, because I know you're an honest broker. No one in the media is an honest broker on this. No one.
And obviously, Pat's 24 people for Rihanna to take in is a little ridiculous. I would advocate 1 per 1,000 square feet of your home.
Okay, so
for
you're
11
talking 11.
For her, she would take 11. In 11.
See, it's not 12.
It's not 12. It's ridiculous.
Not 12.
You know,
yes.
Two
yes.
dozen?
You're
that's
right,
too much.
Stu. I was a little silly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
11.
Can't we come to a common sense
yes,
ground in the middle
right.
where Rihanna just accepts 11 migrants?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Pat.
Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. You can also get it on the podcast as well.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
This is what the media has said. This is what the media claimed. This is what the media is still claiming. And let me just take it piece by piece. First of all, the tear gas. We just gave you that. This is exactly the cages. Everybody was outraged that Donald Trump had cages. Well, no, they were built by the Obama administration. In fact, Obama had twice as many children in cages than Donald Trump did. He was actually reducing the number from its high under Barack Obama. Same thing with the gassing. We have pictures. That was only for 100 people. Wow, if they were out of control with 1,000, they were 10 times out of control with 100. I mean, that's crazy. They only had 100 back in Obama, and he just threw the tear gas. We have to be a welcoming country, because we are a welcoming, and they are not going to come and push the fences down or climb the walls. Remember, Jim Acosta said, Mr. President, you showed in your campaign video of protesters climbing walls and pushing down fences, and that was racist. No, Jim, that wasn't. That was this group of people entering Mexico. That's what that was. President never said that. But that's what that was. Well, then Jim Acosta says, well, but they're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. They're probably not even going to make it. Well, they did. Shockingly, how did they get here so fast? Because you were right. They were hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And many of them, as you pointed out, were barefoot. Wow, barefoot. And you made it weeks and weeks and weeks in advance. You must be superhuman or have some assistance from someone. No. These are just good people. They're not going to be climbing the walls. Yes, well, they did. They're not going to be trying to storm the gates. Well, yes, they just did. They're not invaders. And you're a racist for even saying that. Well, wait a minute. That's what Mexicans who were in the streets in Mexico yesterday protesting their government's response to the migrants, which is just this. You're going to stay here until the Americans process you. They don't like that. They don't like that at all. Why should we be paying for these people? They didn't come in peacefully. They didn't come in the right way. Well, wait a minute. So are the Mexicans racist against other Hispanics? Or are they just making a point of law and order? Well, they're only talking about this because of the election. That's what CNN said before the election. Well, we're talking about it now. And so what election are we playing for? Wrong again. No Soros connection. You're an anti-Semite if you even bring up Soros's name. Well, I don't know. You might be an anti-Semite if you like Soros or don't like Soros. Talking about Soros does not make you an anti-Semite, either good or bad. Anti-Semitism is hating Jews. That's what that's all about. I don't hate Jews. I have this really weird thing. I think you should get to know people and judge them on the content of their character. Then you can hate them for real legitimate reasons. Why would you just lump everybody in?
This is not a difficult distinction.
It's really not.
If you hate Jews because they're Jews, you're an anti-Semite.
If you hate
one specific Jew because of his actions unrelated to him being Jewish, or as he seems to claim now, an atheist,
then you're not
an anti-Semite.
Okay, so here's the thing. We could have told you that George Soros was behind this whole thing. We could have. We didn't. In fact, we said there's no evidence that we can find any evidence that George Soros is involved. Now, you could assume because George Soros himself wrote in a Wall Street Journal piece, an op-ed piece, that he was going to spend $500 million on migrant issues. $500 million. Okay, well, maybe he was talking just solely about the European migrants. Maybe that was it. But you could have assumed that some of it was going to go to the migrants here. But we didn't. You could assume that he or his organizations would be funding this based on the fact that they finance the NGOs that organize the April caravan. But we didn't assume. We said no evidence that those people are involved at this time. However, we have heard that once they reach Mexico, if they reach Mexico, then this organization will step in. But that is just what we've heard. They have not stepped in. Well, today it's interesting that you open up the New York Times, and the New York Times is quoting the organizing organization, the NGO. My gosh, it's the same NGO that was not the organizing NGO at the beginning, but is now the organizing NGO, and it's the same one that organized the rally, the caravan in April, funded by George Soros. You won't find the George Soros connection in the New York Times because they're all scared to death of him.
But they do point out that they were the ones who organized the caravan last spring.
Yeah, they do point
that
out.
They do point that out.
All they don't do is just say, and where do you get a lot of your financing? Oh, George Soros organizations. Okay. Then we get to these. We have to be a welcoming country, especially for women and children. Okay. I like consistency. I like consistency of thought. Chaos is not a way to run a country, not a way to run a life. Consistency of thought. If one of your thoughts is inconsistent with another one of your thoughts, one of them is wrong. Or you are deciding to live in conflict. Okay? Because they should all come together. Sometimes they don't, i.e. quantum mechanics. We have to live in that state of, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would make sense because it violates all the things we thought, but we don't know. I can handle that kind of chaos because you're still searching for the answer. Not when you have the answer. For instance, we must take in women and children who are persecuted. Really? Okay. I believe that. But do you? Because if you do believe that today, could you please show me your Twitter account where you were talking about the women and children who are Christians and Yazidis who have been crucified, tortured, raped up to 20 times a day? Can you please show me where you said we must take these people in? Because the Nazarene Fund has been saying that for a while. We have thousands of people that have gone to other countries, including Australia. Australia has been an amazing country. You know how many the United States has taken? One. These people face death, constant rape, slavery, beheadings. We've taken one. When Ocasio-Cortez said yesterday, oh, this is like the Jews. No, it's not. No, the Christians. The Christians, that's like the Jews. That's like the Jews, the Christians in the Middle East. And you're turning them away. You want another example? How about the Uyghurs? Remember the Uyghurs that we turned over to China? We turned them over to China. They were facing execution. We don't have to make this about, we don't have to make this just about Christians or Yazidis or atheists. Let's make this about Muslims. Can you show me your tweet and your Twitter feed where you are standing up to China and helping expose the 1 million Muslims that have been rounded up in China merely for being Muslim? If you can show me your Twitter feed, I can have an honest conversation with you because I'll show you mine. But if you only care about women and children today, if you're only caring about the migrants and the oppressed and the, oh, the huddled masses yearning to breathe free today, you have no credibility. You have an agenda. You have an agenda. If you really cared about them, we'd see that action through your own words and works over a long period of time. Now, everybody can change. So if you want to join us with the Nazarene Fund today, you can, because those people are enslaved. Enslaved. We're breaking them out. We have a guy today. You want to talk about Central America and South America? We have a guy today that broke up a sex trafficking slavery operation. He is testifying in this country, wearing a bulletproof vest on the airplane all week until he gets off. He has to testify against this ring. They are very, very powerful. Please pray for him. He could lose his life because he was freeing slaves in countries like Honduras. If you would like to have some credibility, join us because we're freeing those people. You have no credibility. You only have a political agenda. Well, they're looking for asylum. No. According to NBC's reporter, no. No, many of them are not. In fact, most of them are not. According to the Border Patrol, no. All they have to do is come to the border, raise their hands and say, we need asylum. That's what you have to do to get asylum. You know who tells you that you don't have to get asylum, that you can't do that and get asylum here in America? You know who says that? Drug dealers. The cartels that are making money on being human mules. The people who are making money smuggling people across our border. They're the ones that tell people, oh, no, you can't just cross the border and say you want asylum. They're the ones. Oh, it, well, and the media. Oh, and the left. And all of the organizers for the left. They're the ones saying that to people. The truth is, all you have to do is come with your arms raised up and say, I need asylum. And you will be processed. And I'm sorry that there is a process, but the New York Times headline says it all today, quote, no clear end to chaos as migrants confront U.S. border. What have I told you for the last 7 years would be the word that you need to look for, and you'll know where to stand on the issue when you see this word. Because it is the author of everything that is happening, trying to destroy the West. The word is chaos. Chaos. Anything that adds to chaos is not good. Thank you, New York Times. No clear end to chaos as migrants confront the U.S. border. For anyone who is in doubt, chaos. That is the objective of everyone who is trying to take the West apart. Create chaos. It's all in their own words. You didn't know that? You should read Addicted to Outrage, because I outline it there clearly.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
When you're writing a book about football, you go right to the guy who knows everything about it, Glenn Beck. That's the first. The literary agents say, you got to get on the Glenn Beck program.
Number one on the press tour. It's definitely the first stop you want to do.
I have a feeling we're not the number one stop, but we're thrilled to have a couple of guests talking about the new book, Brainwashed. The bad science behind CTE and the plot to destroy football.
Yeah, very cool. Dr. Peter Cummings, who's a board-certified forensic neuropathologist. I'm never going to be able to say
pathologist.
Pathologist, thank you. And also, of course, Merrill Hodge, who everybody knows, except for Glenn, because Glenn doesn't know anything about sports. But if he did, he would
but
know.
I would look at him in this well-tailored suit and say, you were a professional athlete.
he identifies athletes by the fashion.
Oh, yes. No. By the, he has to have that one specially cut because his shoulders are big and his waist is a little tight. He's in good shape.
Thank you guys for doing this. Yeah. This is
our pleasure.
Really interesting topic. The book Brainwashed is, I think, really important from the perspective of it gives a little bit more context into a story that people have followed very, very loosely, I think. You know, I think I was joking before we came on the air that, most people's understanding of this issue starts with Will Smith was a doctor. And Will Smith actually was not a doctor. He played that in a movie. The movie was Concussion. And I think that's set the narrative for CTE and the NFL.
So let me take this, because I'm not a football fan and I have been following this, I think, like the average American who is not a big fan. Okay. So let's start with this, and I may be below the average American. Okay, CTE is caused by repeated injury to the head because you guys are knocking heads over and over again. The NFL knew about this. People are turning into vegetables. They didn't care. They hid all of this science from people, and now people like you are out, and we don't know if you have. Do you have any of the signs of CTE?
Well, they don't know really what the signs are, symptoms are, to be honest. So if we go back to everything that you just mentioned there, actually, we are here because you're global. And this actual message is global. It's not just football. You know, I tell people, my son's first concussion ever slipped in a shower. Okay, mm-hmm. Now it's 4 days before his first bowl game ever. But he's now ineligible to play, even though the concussion was not in an athletic environment or, say, practice in football. He slipped in the shower. Because for an hour, I was trying to get – now, Bo, of all the things that you could have done, how did – and he's the best athlete I've ever seen. How did you slip in a shower?
But now he can't play.
He can't play. I mean, that's just – but concussions and head trauma happen
– all the time.
All the time in all kinds of environments. It's not just an athletic environment. So there are so many things that you said right there, and you say, you know, repetitive head injuries cause it. Okay, there's no scientific evidence of that. But in the media, they used words like linked, cause. There's not one piece of scientific literature that has those words in it, linked or caused.
So
none.
Wait, is there any statistical proof that shows this happens to more football players than the average society?
Well, the issue is this, and the questions you're asking are great because they're the same questions we asked each other. You know, I Merrill's a former NFL player, but I grew up loving football. But I banned it in my house because I didn't want my son to play it because I'd seen this narrative that was being broadcast.
And this is your expertise.
And this is my expertise, right? So when my son became interested in football, I took it upon myself to sit down proactively and go through the science and then look at the sport and see how that had changed. And one of the things you start to notice is this narrative now that is sort of believed that if you play football, you're inevitably going to get concussions. You're inevitably going to get CTE. You're inevitably going to become suicidal, depressed, anxious, and demented. And that just doesn't exist scientifically. If you actually look at the mortality studies that have been done on, and this is NFL players, so it's really hard to bring this back to youth football players because 99% of the football players in this country are not going to play beyond high school. Mm-hmm. So you'll see that NFL players live longer. They have longer lifespans. They have healthier lifestyles. They have lower rates of suicide rates and homicide rates that are a fraction of the general population.
Wow.
They have arrest rates that are lower than the general population.
You told you that's not the image that you think of.
You don't.
Because
in the NFL.
It's that you see it on TV, and they're superstars. I mean, these are gods to us in our society. So if you hear
you would even think that you could explain some suicide from. I mean, people identify with. What am I going to do with my life? If you've wanted to play football your whole life and then it's over, you can really go, that could really screw with somebody's head, even if you're not been hit in the head.
Yeah. Well, you know, I try to use this with people to make them understand that. Now, Glenn, I know you've been doing this for a long, long time. Let's just say something happens to you and I'm saying you can never do radio or TV again. You're done. Now, that right there can put you in a depressive state, that transition to, you know, what we call, Chuck Noll was the greatest man I've ever been around, greatest leader and coach. He used to always talk to us about our life's work. He's like, men, it's not football.
Yes.
You know, get your education, use the relationships. You're going to have to do something else with your life's work. Well, when you transition from football to your life's work, that's not easy for anybody. Football player. And I think the more that football was your life, and the more you really worked on your life's work, that bridge over there, the bigger the struggle is, the longer that can take. And then you add the things that we know have connections with our mental health, cancers, and every cardiovascular disease is drugs, alcohol, opioids, obesity, sugar, inflammation. Those are all lifestyle choices that are scientific evidence. They contribute to all of the things that I just mentioned. Well, we control those choices. Those aren't things like age or genetics where nobody control age. Nobody can really, if there's a genetic link, knowing it's good, that's why I can be proactive, but I can't change my genetics.
Right.
They are my facts. But a majority of all the things that create a lot of the cognitive brain health issues we have stems from all those things I just said, drugs, alcohol, opioids, inflammation, sugar, all of those things, which are a lifestyle choice.
So, and again, excuse me for just being a regular layperson on this, haven't paid attention, but are you saying that getting hit in the head did not increase the problems with people like Muhammad Ali?
Well, I think there's a difference between that, because if you look kind of historically at this CTE science, the first original cases were from the 20s in boxers. And these were guys that boxed all year. And they, after they finished their whatever tournament or whatever they were doing their season, they would go box in carnivals. They would, you know, do sideshows. So it was a constant thing. So we know that there's a real thing that happens with boxers. It has to be. And it's been really well described in the literature. And there's, you know, so if you want to bring it up to football, I mean, nobody's going to say that hitting your head is okay one time or 100 times. You know, we do a lot of things to try to prevent that.
But that's not the same as boxing.
That's not the same as boxing. And so if you look at the boxing population of people and what their brains kind of look like when they looked at them in the autopsies versus what the football players' brains look like, they have different pathologies in them. And there are some people in Europe and Britain that say, you know, CTE doesn't exist outside of boxing. The Americans are cuckoo. You know, so we're not really sure. And Merrill has said it so perfectly a million times. I'm going to steal his line that with CTE, we don't know what causes it and we don't know what it causes. And I think that is where the science is right now.
And you know something that I think it was really the final spark that drove this book is when I went from neuropathologist in this country and Canada. And they all kept coming back to, guys, we don't, it's an observation state. We do not know anything beyond that. We have cases where they never played football. We have cases where they have no history of head trauma. They never played sports. I'm like, well, time out. If you have cases where you didn't even play sports and they have this pattern and they had no history of head trauma, how come we only hear about football ones and sports ones? And now people think it's only in that arena when we have all these cases outside that arena. And that's when the discrepancy of what science really says versus what we see in the media was so grotesquely off that I just believe people needed all the information to understand the science to help them with the choices that they're making with their families and their kids.
I did an interview with Dr. David Chow from San Diego. He's a former head doctor of the San Diego Chargers and now does a lot of NFL injury stuff. And talking to him was fascinating because it was the first exposure I ever had to any skepticism from the idea that you go in the NFL, you get CTE. That's pretty much what the media says.
Right.
And he said there's much more that we don't know about CTE than we do know. He talked about, is this true? I mean, is it? You know, hereditary? Is it other people in other sports and other professions? What do we know? What is the actual facts?
Well, let me just tell you this, and Dr. Cummings will build on this in a much better way. But when I ask these neuropathologists about, you know, the pattern, since it's an observation state, you don't know what causes it. You don't know what it causes. And they start sharing all of these cases where, you know, they find the pattern in somebody who never played football, you know, never had a history of concussion, never had a head trauma. There's a 4-month-old and a 1-year-old that they've found the pattern in. Well, right there, you can't obviously blame sports or football.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But what was interesting in some of the literature, like even the science papers, if you read the science papers, there's clarity there too that they don't know. They say it 100 times in the paper. We don't know. We don't know. But those people who wrote the paper are the ones that are in the media giving you the quotes where, oh, I got to believe everybody has this that's played football.
How is it that you, because didn't you earlier say we don't even know really what it is? You don't know, I mean, what are the symptoms?
Nobody knows. Science hasn't been able to get that answer yet.
And so how do we know what, you know, when you say babies had it, how do we know if there's no set of...
Good question. There's outside in the kind of football world CTE papers, there's and this is something you touched on a second ago, the voices of skepticism. When I started this journey for myself, you know, I thought it was Don Quixote swinging at windmills. Mm-hmm. You know, like, am I the only person that sees that this isn't matching up?
And that's not how you started.
That's not how I started. Yeah, I started with not wanting my kid to even watch football on TV. Mm-hmm. So when I started doing some research on my own, looking these papers up, I found people like Dr. Chow, who's a fantastic guy. We've talked a couple of times. And I found out that, you know, a lot of the people, majority of the people in my neurotrauma world feel the same way I do, have the same opinion that I have about this. And so they're one of the things we try to talk about in this book is try to show that research that's out there that contradicts a lot of the things that we've taken to be truth about CTE. So when you start looking, you find these cases of people who have never played football that have CTE, like this one epilepsy case series that had a 1-year-old, a 4-month-old, I think 2 1-year-olds, you know, how do they have, and this, they were temporal lobe resections. They take out a piece of temporal lobe out of their brains, and you look at them under the microscope for this protein tau, which we all have. It's a normal protein that helps stabilize nerve cells. But if something happens to the nerve cell, the tau becomes what's called hyperphosphorylated. A lot of phosphate groups get stuck on it, and it gets sticky. And so they found this same pattern in these children and in all of the epileptic cases that they looked at, who had never played contact sports. So when you start looking at these cases and you have to say, well, did they even have symptoms of CTE or what we think may be symptoms of CTE? And they didn't. So we haven't been able to figure any of that out yet in science. All we know is we have this pattern. And like I said, we don't know what causes it and we don't know what it causes.
Well, there's a lot of money at stake against the NFL. The NFL is spending a lot of money to try to help people along, are they not?
Actually, but see, the NHL and the NFL have already settled. So, like, people ask me this, well, what will NFL players say about your book? I'm like, wouldn't you want to know the truth? I mean, at the end of the day, wouldn't you want to know all of the facts, everything, somebody to do the work and explain it to you? And then, listen, I'm not telling you to like football. I'm not telling you how you should change your mind. I'm just asking you to open your mind to all of the information. You use it how you want. Well, the settlement for NHL and NFL is done. Now, what people don't know, it's settled with unsettled science. The science is not confirmed one way or the other. They just settled. So this has no bearing on it. The NFL got nailed $1 billion. That $1 billion is for players and health issues, cognitive health issues, which is, I could do a whole nother show on just how much money is going to be sitting there going to waste when it could go to other things that were football related. And the NHL did the same thing. So it's over. So this is not going to change any of that. Then I can't go back to court and go, hey, we read the book Brainwashed, and I think we've got to make them prove the science before we settle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because nobody can prove the science. That's just the problem. You can't prove it because there's no science there for it. But being just settled.
So if it doesn't affect any of that,
no.
Your main motivation for writing the book is?
Families, kids. My passion for kids, my passion for youth football. That's why I went. In 2009, I was the first person, player, coach, parent, dad, that stood in front of Congress and go, listen, my career ended because of this in 1994. We changed what we do in the NFL. Okay, this is 2009. I'm in front of Congress. Mm-hmm. We're doing stuff in the NFL, NCAA. 99% of our football players are ages 8 to 18, and we're doing nothing there. Let's establish a protocol, and actually what I challenged them to do with all of sports. Because what I'd found out, even to that point, I'd been implementing a head trauma protocol in my youth program for years, that if we do these things, if your son or daughter has any type of head trauma in any environment, do the one thing that's most important. Remove them from that environment and don't let them return. If you just do that.
So your son's never showered?
And okay, you know what? That's a great point. You know, it's a humor side, but a realistic one. Okay, it could happen anywhere in our life. So wouldn't it be better to know about it? Yeah. So you remove them, and you know what? Evaluate them. If you need to get them to a neuropathologist or a medical professional to be evaluated before they return to that activity, that's the best thing and safest thing you can do for your kids. So at least do that for them. So that's why I went to Congress. Can we do that? Can we get a protocol to really help create a safer environment for our kids when they're being active?
It's fascinating too. I think
I'm going to talk to him about that shower deal. Now
the way they've gone after the NFL, I think, has been interesting in this, because the way they portray it is this doctor from Nigeria comes up, he discovers this, goes to the NFL, proves it to them. They ignore it because they want money. Now, in reality, they have some of the top doctors there. There was disagreement at the time, and still is to some level.
Not to some level. There seems to be a lot.
Major disagreement. But was there a time that they didn't act fast enough? Did they slow play this at all?
Well, here's where my career and my history is interwoven in all of those people. Dr. Roone and Dr. Lovell were the first group of doctors to ever do cognitive testing in 1991, before any neuropathologist, neurologist in the world was even thinking of doing something like that for sports.
Wow.
Because Chuck Noll challenged them to give him subjective and objective information, not just one, give me two. That's why that test was created.
30 seconds here before we get
ready. If you look at my career, what they got nailed for, it was not reacting quick enough. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like they're hiding stuff, and they didn't react fast enough. They didn't get the cognitive tests established. quick enough. It wasn't like they knew something that everybody right. else
It's not like the know. Tobacco industry.
Nothing like that.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.